की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। ब्रह्मा की जय। ब्रह्मा की जय। गौर प्रेम नंदी हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्री श्री बृहद मृंग की जय। सर्वप्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। श्री गौरिताय की जय। श्री श्री राधा लंदन ईश्वर की जय। श्री श्री लंदन जत्र की जय। श्याम वेद भक्त वृंद की जय। All glory is the symbol of glory. All glory is the symbol of glory. All glory is the symbol of glory. All glory is to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Guru. This morning from the Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Translations and Purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Adi Leela, 4th chapter, verse number 83. Devi,
Devi,
Krishna Mai,
Krishna Mai.
Prokta, Radhika, Pada, Devata, Sarva, Lakshmi Mayi, Sarva, Kanti,
Sanmohini,
Pada, Dehi Krishna Mayi Prokta, Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta.
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Kanti Samohini Pada,
Kanti Samohini Pada,
Kanti Sanmo mi mo, Kanti Sanmo hini para,
Kanti Sanmo hini para,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Radhika Para Devata,
Radhika Para Devata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Devi Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Radhika Pada Devata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Kanti Sammohini Para,
Kanti Sammohini Para,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Radhika Para Devata,
Radhika Para Devata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Radhika Paradevata,
Radhika Paradevata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Kanti Sanmohini Para.
What is this?
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta,
Radhika Paradevata,
Radhika Paradevata, Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Kanti
Sanmohini Para,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Devi Krishna Mahi Prokta,
Radhika Paradevata,
Sarva Lakshmi Mahi Sarva,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
Kanti Sanmohini Para,
We'll do the synonyms. Devi,
Devi,
who shines brightly.
Who shines brightly.
Krishnamayi,
Krishnamayi,
non-different from Lord Krishna.
Non-different from Lord Krishna.
Bhukta,
Bhukta,
called.
Called.
Radhika,
Radhika,
Srimati Radharani.
Srimati Radharani.
Paradevata,
Paradevata,
most worshipable,
most worshipable.
Sarvalakshmi,
Sarvalakshmi,
Mayi,
Mayi,
presiding over all the goddesses of fortune,
presiding over all the goddesses of fortune.
Sarvakanti,
Sarvakanti,
in whom all splendor exists,
in whom all splendor exists.
Sanmohini,
Sanmohini,
whose character completely bewilders Lord Krishna. Para,
Para,
the superior energy.
The superior energy.
And this is a quote from the Brihat Gotamiya Tantra. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Repeat responsibly. The transcendental goddess,
transcendental goddess,
Srimati Radharani,
Srimati Radharani,
is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna.
Is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna.
She is the central figure,
she is the central figure,
for all the goddesses of fortune.
For all the goddesses of fortune.
She possesses all the attractiveness,
she possesses all the attractiveness,
to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead.
To attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead.
She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord.
She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord.
Purport. This text is from the Brihad Gotamiya Tantra. So this is the beginning of a description about the qualities of Radharani and the position of Radharani in relationship to Krishna. And this is one of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya comes to this planet to establish that position. I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from the introduction to this chapter, which establishes the reason, the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's coming to the earth. In this chapter of the epic Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has stressed that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three principal purposes of his own. The first purpose was to relish the position of Srimati Radharani, who is the prime reciprocator of transcendental love of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of transcendental loving transactions with Srimati Radharani. The subject of those loving transactions is the Lord himself, and Radharani is the object. Thus the subject, the Lord, wanted to relish the loving mellow in the position of the object, Radharani. The second reason for his appearance was to understand the transcendental mellow of himself. Lord Krishna is all sweetness. Radharani's attraction for Krishna is sublime. And to experience that attraction and understand the transcendental sweetness of himself, he accepted the mentality of Radharani. The third reason that Lord Chaitanya appeared was to enjoy the bliss tasted by Radharani. The Lord thought that undoubtedly Radharani enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed the company of Radharani. But the exchange of transcendental mellow between the spiritual couple was more pleasing to Srimati Radharani than Sri Krishna. Radharani felt more transcendental pleasure in the company of Krishna than he could understand without taking her position. But for Sri Krishna to enjoy in the position of Srimati Radharani was impossible because that position was completely foreign to him. Krishna is the transcendental male and Radharani is the transcendental female. Therefore, to know the transcendental pleasure of loving Krishna, Lord Krishna himself appeared as Lord Chaitanya, accepting the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. So in this section of this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj is explaining the first part, or the establishment of the relationship, the position of Radharani in relationship to Krishna. And this is one of the seed verses of the explanation which he expands upon in further verses. Radharani is very important because she represents the internal potency of Krishna, and she is responsible for Krishna's coming as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya assumed that golden complexion of Radharani so that he could taste what it feels like to be the Supreme Lord's lover, or Supreme Consort, or Supreme Energy, Supreme Internal Energy. And just as Krishna is the fountainhead of many, many incarnations, so Radharani is also the fountainhead of many goddesses of fortune and many queens. Actually, she is the queen of Vrindavan, and always is worshipped in Vrindavan. You probably have noticed sometimes, if you've been there, that people say Radhe Jai Radhe instead of other kinds of greetings. This, unfortunately, has been minimized or washed away to a large extent by the influence of the age of Kali, which has penetrated even the holy dham. And nowadays, people, when they pass each other, they might ask one another about their cars or their houses and say hello instead of Jai Radhe. Or maybe they won't say anything. Maybe they'll just pass one another and not say anything, not call out the name of the Queen of Vrindavan. So this has been something of a stigma about Vrindavan, that in the past 10, 15, maybe 20 years, the greeting of one another has been minimized or reduced significantly. So this is something that caused a great deal of chagrin to a lot of members of the Vrajavasi community, of the Vraja community. And one elderly man who was a Vrajavasi, who was lamenting about this condition, had a dream about Radharani. And in the dream, she also was sad about the fact that her name was not being sung as vibrantly and as much as it had been in the past. So she appeared to him and said, This is unfortunate that this is happening, and I think something must be done about it. I think that somehow the name of Krishna must be revived. And she indicated to him that her name could be painted upon the trees and the buildings and the walls and various other parts of Vrindavan to try to revive the singing of the name of Radharani, so that her mercy would be dispensed more fully. Because after all, it's her place, her queendom, we might say, and she wasn't being recognized as the Queen of Vrindavan. So this elderly Vrajavasi awoke from the dream and thought, oh, Radharani has asked me to somehow or other repopularize her name in Vrindavan. What to do? How can I do it? So he just started meditating. He didn't have any money. He was a very simple Vrajavasi, elderly person. And in the course of a few weeks after that, as he was meditating on Radharani's instruction to him, he came to meet a landholder, a very wealthy landholder from Delhi, who came to visit Vrindavan. He happened to meet him. And he told him about his dream, about Radharani's disappointment about the fact that her name wasn't being sung in Vrindavan. So the man offered to buy him some paint so he could paint her name on the walls and the trees and different places of Vrindavan, the sides of buildings, the barrier walls. And so he began. And he began painting Sri Radha, Sri Radha, Sri Radha Krishna on the walls of Vrindavan and on the trees and all on the little posts everywhere he could find. And he just kept going and going, thinking that this is the order of Radharani, I must execute it. So he painted and painted until he ran out of paint. And then his patron came again and said, this is a wonderful service you're doing, I'm going to give you some more paint. And he supplied him all that he needed, his paint and his buckets and brushes, and different colors this time. So this time he started painting more and more. Different colors, and sometimes he would outline the form of the names of Devanagari words, Radharani or Sri Radha, Sri Radha. And this continued. And this was approximately, I think, about 10 years ago. And this sadhu, there she should rather run in Ishwara, she should run in that. continues today. Maybe he has helpers. Sometimes I've seen him out there painting. And it's not just making new paint, you know, like ordinary graffiti. It's kind of a nuisance. It looks very strange and unpleasant and sort of in your face, not the sort of thing you like to see. And then it gets painted over because people don't like it, or they paint their cars or something, their buildings, with what they call graffiti-proof varnish or shellac, so that if something does get sprayed on there, then it can be taken off. But the residents of Vrindavan like this graffiti very much. It's really not even graffiti. That's kind of a bad word. It's just the name of Radharani. And sometimes he'll go over what he'd already painted and make it darker because it starts to wear off, and then make an outline of a different color. And I've seen him actually painting. I don't know if it's him or one of his consorts, one of his companions. But very meticulously he paints the name of Sri Radha over and over again, and with a bucket and a little brush. And gradually it is reviving the queendom of Vrindavan, that Radharani is actually the queen. So he's been successful, and you've probably seen, those of you who've been there, all over Vrindavan, these wonderful inscriptions all over, everywhere you look. So gradually the glory of Radharani is being established. Of course, at the same time, there are other types of corrosive influences in Vrindavan that we're not very happy with, but it is a beginning. So Radharani is very merciful, and in Kartik she dispenses her mercy, especially without any consideration of circumstances or the type of people. She is constantly dispensing her mercy, and it's a very good time to go to Vrindavan if you can go during Kartik. It's very, very special. Hundreds of thousands of people come at this time. I think Ranchor Prabhu said millions. It's hard to imagine, but it's possible because it's the spiritual world. People come in droves, and they participate. They visit all the dhams, they visit all the temples, especially the temples established by the Goswamis. We visit, and we see many, many, many people visiting. And in the Radha Damodar temple in particular, if you go during Kartik, not that it's necessarily more crowded than all the other temples, but it's very wonderful to see how many devotees, how many Vrajabhasis, how many visitors are coming to circumambulate that whole temple in the courtyard around the tomb, the samadhi of Rupa Goswami and the Bhajan Kutir. Thousands and thousands of people every day. Some are just walking, and others are doing dandabat prakram. They pay their dandabats, they get up, they do dandabats, they get up. And sometimes you'll even see little children doing this dandabat prakram, 5 years old, 6 years old. They enjoy it very much. It's like their sport. This is the sport of the Vrajabhasis, to engage in parikram and do even these dandabat parikrams, which we consider very difficult. So this mercy is very special, and Radharani is always very exceptionally kind. This mudra that she's gesturing with here is a kind of blessing. Does anyone know what it means? Prabhupada said it means two things. What she's saying when she's doing this.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. Everything is all right. That's one. And the other one? Maybe this is a little esoteric, but Prabhupada said this once. He said the other part of the gesture, the second part, means that she is begging Krishna to please accept this nice devotee who is before me, because this devotee is greater than I am. That's her kindness. So she's constantly, in this gesture, recommending others to come to Krishna, or recommending to Krishna that you should please accept the mercy upon this nice devotee. Therefore, the Vrajabhasis and Vaishnavas all over the world, especially in Vrindavan, they pray for the mercy of Radharani. They pray for her blessings, because they know that if she is accepting us, then we will be accepted by Krishna. So I'll read some of the ensuing verses that expand a little upon this one. Verse 84. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Text number 85. Krishnamayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Text 86. Or she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Purport. Krishnamayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna, both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna, wherever he goes or whatever he sees, is called Krishnamayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishnamayi. So one of Lord Chaitanya's qualities is that he embodies both personalities of Radharani and Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He's the combination of these two great figures of spiritual life. And at one point when he sat under the Inlitala tree in Vrindavan, you probably heard, he was longing for Radharani in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Actually what happened was, during the Rasa dance, Radharani made an exit and Krishna didn't notice. And after a while, when he noticed she wasn't there, he thought, what's the value? Actually, she became a little irate with Krishna, because when he was calling out to the gopis, she could understand that he was calling out for many other gopis to come and dance with him. So she felt a little put out, because she wanted to dance with Krishna exclusively. So she became a little disappointed and vanished. So Krishna became a little disappointed himself, and then left the Rasa dance, began to look for Radharani. And as Radharani disappeared, she sat under this Imlitala tree. There's a famous temple there. And as she was longing for Krishna, her complexion changed from her usual golden complexion to dark blue or blackish color, like Krishna's. Then after a while, she left. Krishna came looking for Radharani, and he sat upon the same place, under this Imlitala tree, which is a wish-fulfilling tree, desire tree. There's still a wonderful temple there. It's right on the bank of the Jamuna River. And he began to long for Radharani, and his complexion changed from blackish to golden as he was meditating on her beautiful form. So shortly after this, as he was sitting there in this very golden, beautiful golden form, she came to see him and didn't recognize him because of his color, but she also recognized what a beautiful person he was. And she was wondering, who is this amazing, attractive personality? And then as she began to gaze into his eyes, she could understand it was Lord Krishna, because the eyes are the window to the heart, or the mind, or the soul, they say. So then she addressed him, Shyam. And he immediately, when on seeing that it was Radharani, resumed his original color. And it is said that when Lord Chaitanya came there, that he also sat under this tree. And as he began in the mood of Radharani to meditate on Krishna, he too assumed the blackish color of Lord Krishna. So this is a famous tree. It's no longer, no longer alive, but it's still there, and its body is there, and there's a newly planted Imlitala tree. It's a tamarind tree, actually. And this just, I think this tree just died about 3-4 years ago, something like that, very recently. So it's wonderful. You can go on the Vrindavan Parikrama. When you come out along the Jamuna River, you can just walk up a few yards. I think it's just, beyond Kali Ghat. You'll see it, just before you come down to where the Jagannath temple is. So Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Now this is text 87. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore the pujaris call her Radhika. Purport. The name Radha is derived from the root word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshiping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Varadana also means Vishnu Aradhanam Param, things connected with Krishna. When Parvati once asked Lord Shiva, what is the greatest form of worship? He replied that the greatest form of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. But even greater than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of things connected with Vishnu. And Vishnu Araranam Param, he mentions this word Araranam, and Tadiyam means the things that are connected with Krishna. It means devotees, it means the words of Krishna, the books of Krishna, the devotees, the tulsi, all things connected with Krishna. The peacock feather reminds us of Krishna. All these things are worshipable like Krishna. So here we have the name Radha is derived from the word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshipping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, or the greatest servitor. Text 88. Truly the personality of God has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. This is from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 89. Therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. Text 90. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of the goddesses of fortune. Text 91. Or, Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. Text 92. The word Sarvakanta indicates that her beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Text 93. Kanti may also mean all desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Text 94. Srimati Radharani fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarvakanti. Text 95. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. So Krishna is very, very attractive, and he attracts even Cupid, Madan Mohan. He is known as Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. There is another incident in which Cupid wanted to test Krishna. This took place at the site of the Madan Mohan temple. There is a hill there where the temple is built, and after Krishna was dancing on the heads of Kaliya, the inhabitants of Braj became worried. Of course, they were worried all the time that the snake would devour him, or he'd get poisoned by the noxious fumes in the water, rising out of the water that killed all the birds and all the fish and all the other inhabitants that ventured too near. But he was wet. So when he went up on the hill, there were 12 suns that arose in the sky to draw him off. And this became known as Dvadvasa Aditya Tila, the hill of 12 suns. And that's where the Radha Madan Mohan temple was built. Madan Mohan temple was revived by Rupa Goswami, was excavated. So at this place, Madan Mohan, or Cupid, came, the one who makes one mad, Madan, and he wanted to test Krishna. He was a little doubtful that Krishna could attract so many gopis, that gopis would be attracted, Krishna would have so many wonderful girlfriends. So Cupid has arrows, form, taste, touch, smell, sight, and so on. These are the arrows which attract people in the material world, men and women, women and men. So he decided to try to entice Krishna, see if he could prove himself more attractive than the gopis. So he aimed his arrows at Krishna, and in the course of concentrating on the target, which a marksman must do, or what do they call an arrowman? What are they?
Archer.
An archer has to do is meditate on the target. He meditated on Krishna. He was so overwhelmed with Krishna's beauty that he fainted in ecstasy. So this was the way in which Krishna conquered Cupid. And Madan Mohan, or Krishna, is conquered by Radharani. So she's called Madan Mohan Mohini, the one who can conquer Krishna, who conquers Cupid. So to get her blessings and to get her mercy is considered to be greater by many than getting Krishna's mercy. So, text 95, Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Text 96, Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. Text 97, they are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are none different. Text 98, thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Text 99 and 100, to promulgate prema bhakti, devotional service and love of Godhead, Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya with the mood and complexion of Sri Radha. Thus I have explained the meaning of the fifth verse. I'll just read a couple of more, and then we'll have questions. Text 101. To explain the sixth verse, I shall give a hint of its meaning. Text 102. The Lord came to propagate Sankirtan. This is an external purpose, as I have already indicated. Text 103. There is a principal cause for Lord Krishna's appearance. He grows from his own engagements as the foremost enjoyer of loving exchanges. 104. The most confidential cause is threefold. Swarup Damodar has revealed it. Text 105. Swarup Gosani is the most intimate associate of the Lord. He therefore knows all these topics well. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prior to the Lord's acceptance of the renounced order, Purushottam Bhattacharya, a resident of Navadvipa, desired to enter the renounced order of life. Therefore he left home and went to Benares, where he accepted the position of Brahmacharya from a Mayavad sannyasi. When he became a Brahmachari, he was given the name Sri Damodar Swarupa. He left Benares shortly after without taking sannyas, and he came to Neelachala, Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was staying. He met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there and dedicated his life for the service of the Lord. He became Lord Chaitanya's secretary and constant companion. He used to enhance the pleasure potency of the Lord by singing appropriate songs, which were very much appreciated. Swarup Damodar could understand the secret mission of Lord Chaitanya, and it was by his grace only that all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya could know the real purpose of the Lord. Swarup Damodar has been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion of Radharani. However, the authoritative Gora Gonadesha Deepika of Kavikanapur describes Swarup Damodar as the same Vishakha Devi who serves the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that Sri Swarup Damodar is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. One more verse. Text 106. The heart of Lord Chaitanya is the image of Sri Radhika's emotions. Thus, feelings of pleasure and pain arise constantly therein. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya's heart was full of the feelings of Srimati Radharani, and his appearance resembled hers. Swarup Damodar has explained his attitude as Radha Bhava Murti, the attitude of Radharani. One who engages in sense gratification on the material platform can barely understand Radha Bhava, but one who is freed from the demands of sense gratification can understand it. Radha Bhava must be understood from the Goswamis, those who are actually controllers of the senses. From such authorized sources it is to be known that the attitude of Srimati Radharani is the highest perfection of conjugal love, which is the highest of the five transcendental mellows, and it is the complete perfection of love of Krishna. These transcendental affairs can be understood on two platforms. One is called elevated and the other is called super elevated. The loving affairs exhibited in Dwarka are the elevated form. The super elevated position is reached in the manifestations of the pastimes of Vrindavan. The attitude of Lord Chaitanya is directly and certainly super elevated. From the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an intelligent person engaged in pure devotional service can understand that he always felt separation from Krishna within himself. In that separation, he sometimes felt that he had found Krishna and was enjoying the meeting. The significance of this separation and meeting is very specific. If someone tries to understand the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya without knowing this, he is sure to misunderstand it. One must first become fully self-realized. Otherwise, he may misidentify the Lord as Nagara, or the enjoyer of the damsels of Braja, thus committing the mistake of rasa-vasa, or overlapping understanding. So Prabhupada explains here that one has to get the understanding of from the Goswamis about the affairs of Radha and Krishna. Let me read that passage again. He says, from Radha Baba must be understood from the Goswamis, those who are actually controllers of the senses. So one has to get the mercy of the Goswamis. We pray for their mercy every day, and it is through them that we enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, not directly, because to try to directly enter into the pastimes is kind of like trying to go to read the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto without going through the first canto. So of course Prabhupada translated and wrote parts of the 10th canto in Krishna book for purposes of wanting to impart some knowledge. He didn't know how long he was going to remain in this physical body, but to understand intimately these pastimes is not an easy thing, and therefore it is said that we must first get the mercy of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who have very deeply researched these activities and who are explaining it to us in a way that we can easily understand. Not so easily, but that we can, they are made possible for us to understand. Therefore, Prabhupada was always praying, for example, for the mercy of Rupa Goswami. He was situated in his sannyas years in the temple where he would Raja Damodar, where he would take his meals, and there's an opening in that wall where you can see a little window out upon the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So he was always praying for his mercy. Actually, when he was staying here in London, he was staying in an apartment building called Farley Court, just off of Marylebone Road. It's actually on Marylebone Road, opposite Madame Tussauds. And this room has a unique configuration. It has five walls instead of four, the room he was staying in. And the fifth wall is kind of joining two other walls. So you have what would ordinarily be a rectangular room, but something crossing two of the walls at a 45 degree angle. And in that wall is a window, and overlooking is a brick wall. That's what you see when you look out the window, just a brick wall. But we asked Prabhupada what he thought of that room, because actually when he first got it, he said he'd rather stay at Seven Berry Place, where the temple was located, even though there was heavy construction work going on. And he said it was a fool's paradise. So he started feeling very guilty that we got in Prabhupada's apartment when he wanted to stay in the temple. So when we went in to ask him what he thought of the room, he said, it is very nice. I like it. It reminds me of my room where I used to take my meals in Vrindavan. And it's the same shape as that room. And I used to look out this window, just like where this window is, and I used to gaze upon the tomb, he called it the tomb, of Rupa Goswami. And it was too much ecstatic, he said. It was too much ecstatic. So that sort of put to rest all the complaints we heard about that room not being suitable for him. Anyway, he stayed there for about a month before he came to Berry Place. There's a story, right? I don't know how true it is, but I heard that as Prabhupada used to gaze upon that samadhi and pray for the mercy of Rupa Goswami, that Rupa Goswami appeared to him. I don't know if it was in dream or a vision. Did you hear this? He said, "Don't worry about going to America. Don't worry about going to the West, because Krishna will take care of you and everything will be all right." I think it's in one of Mahanidhi's books this story is mentioned. Everything will be all right. So he was not only praying to Rupa Goswami, but he was getting the blessings of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami is very unique. All of these great souls are very unique, but especially Rupa Goswami gave us principles which we could follow and explain how one could enter in devotional service. He's particularly known for the Yukta Vairagya verses, Nasaktasi Vishayam Yatarhuma Puyunjita, how things could be engaged in the service of Krishna. And this is one thing that Prabhupada gave, maybe others tried to give, I don't know, but he gave to the West. He showed how very unlikely suspects could be used in the service of Krishna, microphones, airplanes, cars, computers, telecommunications instruments, and put everybody to work, engaging their talents and their likes, their abilities, and all these things which are ordinarily ugra karma, that are polluting and damaging the world. He showed everyone that it could be used in the service of Krishna. Not that someone asked him once, why don't you, isn't it strange that you're using all this technology? And Prabhupada said, what do you expect me to do, walk barefoot all over? He said, if I want to go to London, he was in India when he was asked this question, if I had to walk, it would take me 10 years, and now I can do it in 10 hours. So this was one of the great gifts of Rupa Goswami. And he researched very, very deeply to bring these principles forward to explain how we could get the mercy of Radharani by using everything in the service of Krishna. So the mercy of Radharani has obviously expanded and is showering its very wonderful rays upon Srila Prabhupada's movement. And of course he brought her here. He kidnapped her and Krishna from one gentleman's house who was not so sure whether he wanted to donate them. So she's here giving us her mercy that everything will be all right. So any comments or questions? She's mentioned, but kind of through words like Aradhana in disguise. It's not that she's not there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is primarily a glorification of activities of Krishna. And Prabhupada actually stated that he wanted a series of examinations done for devotees to learn the basic principles of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya glorified Srimad Bhagavatam as even though Chaitanya Chaitamrita has written about him and glorifies Radharani extensively, that the Srimad Bhagavatam was the book that should be read constantly. One of the main principles he inculcated was that one should constantly read Srimad Bhagavatam to understand the qualities of Lord Krishna. So everything takes place in a graduated way. We have a beginning, we learn we're not this body. We begin to learn the relationship with Krishna. It's also said that we have to have faith. We have to have faith in devotees. We have to associate with devotees. We have to begin to worship. So it's said that the first step is the longest journey begins with a first step. There has to be a beginning, and we learn philosophy of Krishna consciousness by knowing that first we're not the body. We're related to Krishna. We're the same in quality with Krishna, but we're different in quantity. We find out that Lord Chaitanya came 5,000 years ago. We learn to chant the mantra. And then gradually we learn about the different potencies of Krishna. He has Satchidananda. He has Padini potencies. He has Sambit potencies. And he has various other ways of manifesting himself through the material world, through the spiritual world. And Radharani is his very intimate potency, his Padini potency, the intimate potency of Krishna. So what we're reading here about Radharani are the internal potencies of Krishna, the internal reasons why he comes to the material world, to taste the qualities of Radharani. So one has to first understand the nature of the self and its relationship to Krishna, how Krishna operates, how he creates the world, how he manifests himself in different incarnations. And then as one becomes more advanced, one enters into more deep understanding about Krishna and Radharani and his internal potencies, and thus the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is reserved for more difficult examinations. It's not in the first examinations of Bhakti Shastri, but as we get into the Bhakti Bhai Baba, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhoma examinations, then Chaitanya Chaitamrita, which discusses the activities of Radharani, comes into play. So we don't try to skip over the earlier stages of understanding and devotion to learn about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. but gradually, therefore we're only reading from Chaitanya Chaitamrita maybe once a week, because first we're trying to understand what is the meaning of ourselves and our relationship to Krishna. To know what the relationship is called sambandha, and even the Vedanta Sutra is dedicated, almost 70% of it is dedicated to just understanding the first thing about what actually is the relationship, who am I and who is Krishna. Then Abhideya and Prayojana, the other two later parts, come the activity, Abhideya, that I engage in, devotional service, what I do in my relationship to Krishna, how I act with Krishna and other devotees. And then Prayojana is the fruit of all that activity, the transcendental loving ecstasy that one actually experiences, which Radharani is experiencing all the time. This is the last and final stage of devotional service. So little by little, one comes to understand the intricacies of Krishna's relationship with Radharani. Yes? Yeah, Krishna and Radharani, as has been explained here, are none different. So her mood of mercy, and just reading Srimad Bhagavatam is a great mercy. That is a manifestation of Radharani's mercy. Whatever we understand ultimately depends upon the mercy of Radha and Krishna. So we don't get anything unless we get the mercy of Radharani. Mm-hmm.